We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in the heart of the Midwest, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, real quick, I threw a wish in the well, and don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked at you, Ty, as it fell, and now you are in my way. Anything?
Is that Carly Rae?
It is. It's CRJ Saturday coming up here because I could not find a single cohesive theme. I looked up celebrity birthdays and Carly Rae Jepsen is turning 34. And if there's anything that encompasses the center of the Dan Ty Venn diagram, it might be CRJ.
CRJ is up there. How old is that song now?
That would have been like 2012, 2011, 2012.
2012, yeah. I threw a wish in. CRJ. I've got a different spin for this weekend, and I don't dislike the CRJ Saturday.
Okay, it's okay, because I can tie it. I can tie song titles into matchups, which is a nice little layer.
I don't want to deprive us of that conversation, though. I feel like I want to hear more. I was going to say Sicilian Saturday, because we've been big on this show called Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Oh, that's true.
And the Sicilian defense, it's a very popular opening move.
Mm-hmm.
It's an aggressive, defensive opening move.
I'll take your word for it.
And I'm looking off of a website. I don't know this off the top of my head.
I figured.
I'm not any kind of grandmaster in the game of chess, mind you. But there are a lot of matchups this week that I feel are going to be decided by a strong defense. So I'm thinking Sicilian defense. I'm thinking Sicilian pizza, if you want to go there, since this is now a pizza podcast masquerading as a college football podcast.
I do have Adobe baby fermenting, cold fermenting as we speak that I plan on taking out later.
So maybe it's a choose your own adventure. You can go CRJ, you can go Sicilian, whatever you're into. I really don't want to deprive us that CRJ conversation piece as we move through all the action.
I'm on one of these celebrity birthday sites, and we will get and preview. First of all, we've gone too long without mentioning just teasing out some of the podcasts that might encompass CRJ Saturday. We got Bedlam.
Yep.
I feel like we could connect Sicilian or CRJ to Bedlam. We've got Arizona, Washington. Iowa, Penn State, usually a barn burner. Now it's just sort of a burner. Wisconsin, Northwestern, my backyard. Huge Big Ten West implications. Perhaps the headline matchup of the Big Ten West now that Northwestern got by Purdue. Indiana, Ohio State is the headline matchup for the Big Ten East. So, you know, those are those games that we're going to talk about. But Ty, what I was going to say is I went up on celebrity birthdays, and this is what hurts me so much. I go to famousbirthdays.com.
Yeah.
And you go through the famous people having birthdays, and it's just YouTube star. This person's turning 11. TikTok billionaire.
Right. Right.
And I'd never heard of any of these people. And then you get down to the bottom, and it's like, I guess Ken Griffey Jr. I guess Troy Aikman. Like, oh, cool. I'm 1,000 years old that these people are also ran honorable mentions. And
wow.
CRJ is way up there, though. So that's cool. I'm good by CRJ.
Well, hello and welcome back to the podcast. I am Ty. Yeah. He is Dan. SolidVerbal.com is our website. Check us out on social media. Going out to verballers.com if you want to check out the Patreon, find out all the cool bonus stuff we are doing. It is college football week 12. We have a Sicilian, a CRJ slate of games that we're going to dissect every which way for you on this episode. But before we get there, Dan, we have breaking news!
Oh, his voice is back. Boop, boop, boop.
I'm back, baby! Let's talk college football news. The big news story, even bigger than COVID, Dan. South Carolina has fired Will Muschamp. He was their fifth-year coach. It was a 2-5 start. His buyout is somewhere in the $13 to $15 million range, depending where you look.
It's about 13 and change. It was lowered from 15 when he hired Bobo. They readjusted his buyout to make the dollars and cents work for Mike Bobo, who is now taking his job, at least temporarily, as the interim head coach.
Mike Bobo came over. He was the newly christened offensive coordinator. Notably, it is the second time that Muschamp's been fired from an SEC school. Oddly enough, it happened, hours after we did our little bonus spiel for the Patreon subs, where we talked about, you know, was there any kind of three-dimensional chess to getting on the board first? Recall a couple years ago, when Tom Herman was reportedly in the mix as well. South Carolina
Rich Rod, I remember. Yeah, Rich Rod's name came up with South Carolina, yeah.
South Carolina was also a first mover back then to try and get kind of like early stake to whatever the prize coaching recruit might be. It didn't work out then. They end up with Muschamp. Now they're kind of back to square one here. Some early names being mentioned. These are early names, Dan. I have no idea how many of these are actually credible, but Hugh Freeze, Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator for Clemson, Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator for Clemson, Billy Napier of Louisiana, Luke Fickell of Cincinnati, Steve Sarkisian, Alabama offensive coordinator, Jamie Chadwell, head coach at Coastal Carolina, Will Healy, head coach at Charlotte, Shane Beamer, an assistant for Oklahoma, Joe Brady, the Carolina Panthers, and if you are Jordan Rogers, maybe James Franklin, just because he's an interesting name. Any of those names mean anything to you?
Well, all of those names mean something to me, but Billy Napier I think he went to Furman, coached at South Carolina, coached at Clemson. That was insulting. Sorry, my phone was ringing. And I imagine his path could take him in that direction. I don't know if he might be waiting for something bigger. The Clemson guys are interesting. Joe Brady, less so. I don't know why. It almost seems like a demotion on his path right now. It seems more geographic than anything, though I guess they could pay him a ton of money that he wouldn't necessarily be making in the NFL, but he has that NFL background. Hugh Freeze, I guess it depends on the double secret probation from Greg Sankey. And Will Healy feels early. Charlotte's not having an amazing year. Coastal, we'll see. That's a huge matchup this week. That'll be an indicator, but Jamie Chadwell still very early on in his tenure there. So, yeah, I guess Billy Napier makes the most sense. South Carolina will certainly, I think, take bigger swings and it won't work out. But, yeah, those are interesting. I don't think Luke Fickell will go. I think he'd probably just assume wait for a really large Midwest job or a larger job elsewhere than South Carolina. But, you know, Shane Beamer, interesting. Also yeah. interesting to me, pretty well regarded in the coaching world. So early on, those are my thoughts. But yeah, well, this will get narrowed down pretty quickly.
Is Joe Brady going to be the new John Gruden? Is he going to be
Joe
the
Brady's
guy?
Brady's working. He has a job.
Well, no, he's working. He has a job. But is he going to be the new token coaching prospect who, you know, owns land everywhere and everyone is after, reportedly has interest in ...
Are the Carolina Panthers good on offense? I don't know this either way.
I don't think okay. so. I don't okay. think so.
Okay. Just, I have no idea. It could be. I think he's not nearly the name John Gruden was, but I understand what you're saying, that the success he had at LSU is tantalizing, albeit in a passing game coordinator, not full offensive coordinator role, but he did bring an element to that. I don't know about his personality. I don't know about his ability, you know, to sort of galvanize and hire a staff and really get juice to a program, but yeah, there is going to come a point where his name will come up more and more with college jobs if he has upper level success in the NFL.
By the way, I think Carolina is currently starting PJ Walker. You remember him from Temple?
I do remember him. That's who's starting at quarterback?
I believe so, which furthers my point from earlier in the year that there's really only about 10 good quarterbacks in the NFL.
I remember seeing a few weeks ago, I swear to you, we're going to start previewing week 12 and going over other news, but it was what, 3 weeks ago now? I saw the name trending on Twitter, Ben DiNucci.
Oh, yeah, for the Cowboys. He played for the Cowboys.
I had no idea. He went on, I think he went to JMU, right, after he transferred from Pitt.
Yep.
And had a really impressive career with James Madison. And I saw his name trending, and I was just hoping one of like three things were true. One, he didn't die.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens. That happens.
The same thing.
We're like, oh no, did he die doing something like noble or horrible or something? Like, I was like, okay, I don't think that's the case based on these tweets. Number two, did he do something super noble? Is he a fireman? Did he rescue a whole bunch of people out of a nursing home or something like that? What is going on with Ben DiNucci, the next phase of his life? And I was like, well, now it doesn't appear that people are referencing any sort of heroic, did he go on Family Feud and say something hilarious? No, that's no. Oh, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Unbelievable. Cool. Unbelievable. He wanted on like a scratch-off ticket or something.
Yeah. So,
just where we're
yeah,
at.
That's how much I know about the NFL in 2020.
So South Carolina's looking for a coach. It shouldn't come as any great surprise. Muschamp is on the hot seat. We'll see which direction they go. But Carolina's on the board first here looking for a coach. It'll be interesting to see if there are other openings that emerge in these weird kind of COVID laden and odd financial times. Elsewhere right. in the college football world, we did have a game on Sunday that will briefly touch on. It was UCLA beating the daylights out of Cal 34-10. It was a rare Sunday football game. They played it at noon Eastern time, got about an hour head start on the NFL. The Bruins outgained Cal 440-176. Dorian Thompson-Robinson had four combined touchdowns, three through the air, one on the ground. Any quick thoughts on this one, Daniel?
Really nice of UCLA to not turn the ball over and give their opponent a bunch of short fields like they did against Colorado in week one. Although I believe Cal's lone touchdown did come off of an interception on a short field. So they did do it once. They just didn't make a habit of it. And I don't know how much you can take away from this game, short notice, either direction. Though UCLA really did play well against Colorado after, you know, giving up like a 1 yard, a 7 yard, and a 20 yard touchdown drive off of those turnovers. And I'm hopeful that this is not an indicator of Cal's ability, though their season seems like it's in such disarray given the obstacles that they have. So, Cal's touchdown was not off a short field. I know maybe they scored a field goal off a short field. That's what it was. Okay, so they scored some points, but they did drive the field on their lone touchdown drive. And I don't know. I am hopeful that UCLA is getting to a respectable point based on this win and based on their production in a losing effort against Colorado.
And finally, back into the harsh reality that is the 2020 season. Again, a bunch of postponements and cancellations. I think the most notable of which is Arizona State and Colorado. This one's canceled due to ASU literally not having enough scholarship players to meet the 53-player minimum requirement. Saw some reporting out there in the Twitter sphere that it's a bad situation right now at ASU.
Yeah.
They're really struggling with COVID, and you know, the football is obviously kind of the first thing to go in a situation such as that. And look, we're kind of dealing with this as a country. Again, this is not the only game that falls into this category. We had Ole Miss and A&M postponed. We had Georgia Tech in Miami postponed. We also had UNLV, Colorado State canceled, Charlotte, Marshall, UAB, UTEP, Ohio and Miami of Ohio, and ULM against Louisiana Tech. All of those games canceled. So hopefully that is the extent of it here in week 12, but nonetheless, something to keep your eye on. It's just kind of where we're at the moment. Hopefully we don't get to 15 like we did a week ago, but I suppose everything's on the table at this point.
Yeah, we're recording this at 4:30 Eastern time on Tuesday. So we are going to preview a game or games, likely games, that get canceled or postponed. Yeah, the ASU situation seems pretty bad. And it should be noted, I read, I think it was Ross Dellinger wrote about this, that we are not at a point in terms of athletic departments, football programs, conferences, where there is protocol to test out of contact tracing, right? That people are quarantining, people are isolating based on exposure to people who have tested positive for COVID. But even with testing negative in subsequent days, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever times, there are no regulations in place that have been set by conferences or programs or anything like that that say, okay, well, if you test this many times after this many days negative, you're good to go. So you gotta get out of the quarantine, I suppose, in one piece. Nick Saban was able to do it and prove that it was a false positive, but it's sort of different with the contact tracing and the caution conferences are taking with players. So that's where we're at right now. I know that was something that was an issue specifically with Texas A&M with regard to the postponement cancellation last week. And so they're still out this week.
All right. I think that's all I have for news, Dan. Are you ready to jump into our game picking segment?
Yeah, Penn State
segment?
Just hired Will Muschamp. Wow. Okay.
All right. Enough.
Dan, time, help.
It is week 12, Dan. We've got an early, we've got an afternoon, we've got a nightcap, and we've got a window of opportunity. I think we've got a window of opportunity here.
Tell me what the window is to you. What does government mean to you?
Well, I think if I am forced to choose, the window that I am selecting is in the middle of the day. I think middle of the afternoon, I should say, the 3:30
first
block.
Half of the 3:30 Easterns, or the full slate.
I'd be inclined to go full slate if you have to. If you have to go out, be amongst the people, you know, do so safely, keep your distance, and put the mask on, all that jazz. But
if you're in a place like I am that is on full isolation and essential house leaving only, maybe don't.
You can't even come into PA without quarantining now. That was the guidance here today, yeah.
Okay.
So I think if you're picking, if you gotta be like the body in a critical situation and cut off blood flow to one of these college football
oh my
limbs.
God, so dark.
It's a dark time, Dan. Let's be honest.
It's true. Yeah.
I think I could deal without Wisconsin, Northwestern. I know I could deal without Iowa, Penn State. I mean, I still have scar tissue from 6'4". K-State, Iowa State, Cincinnati, UCF, like we're going to find reasons to be interested in those games. I more than reasons. I am genuinely interested in those games, but I'm just saying if you got to go out, you got to do yard work. If there are leaves blowing around the yard.
Yeah.
That's your block right there.
Going apple picking. I would take the night block off before I would take the afternoon block off just because of Wisconsin, Northwestern and Cincinnati, UCF. That is attractive enough for me.
You don't want to see Rutgers topple the Michigan Wolverines?
The nightcap features. Now, Liberty, NC State might be interesting for sure. And, you know, we'll see USC, Utah. USC games have been pretty wild late in games. So that's the Pac-12 after dark game. UCLA, Oregon. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be an amazing game. But the nightcap features South Carolina with an interim coach, Mississippi State playing Georgia, Tennessee football, Rutgers football, Arizona on the road. Like, there's not much to the nightcap outside of Bedlam, whereas I can look at three games in the afternoon where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to find a TV at that time.
A lot of Sicilian defense going on in that middle afternoon block, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that Penn State look is aggressive and scary.
It's scary, just not in the context that Penn State fans would hope. Let's start early here. We've got a top 10 matchup, if you can believe it. Indiana on the road at Ohio State. Ohio State about a 3-touchdown favorite. They've won the last 24 matchups in the series, Dan. You have to go all the way back to 88, the old John Cooper era, to find the last time that the Hoosiers won this game. And so, you know, there's a lot of history here. I think Indiana's chomping at the bit. They want to get one. They're obviously riding high after some big wins early. They're undefeated.
Lock of the week.
Right off the bat.
Right out of the chute, give me Ohio State big. Big.
Okay. Defend the pick. Because I am actually taking Indiana in the points here.
No. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you should be defending your pick.
No, I didn't lock it up.
Wow. I can't believe. So I get that side of it. I'm guessing you're looking at this matchup and you're saying Ohio State's gettable through the air.
Is it through the air or is it on the ground that Ohio State has given up more this year?
They look gettable through the air to me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a secondary with a couple new faces, yeah.
And we talked about the turnover in the secondary. So that's I think, a reasonable point of view. Let me just posit this. I am an Indiana fan. I was early on the hype train. I was early on calling them the second best team when the doubters and the haters like you said, no, they're not the second best team in the Big Ten East. I still believe they are. And I think they finished the season with one or two losses. The problem here is that the gap between the best and the second best is really large. It's a gulf. I don't think this one's particularly close. I really don't. Justin Fields has been amazing as expected so far this year. 87% completion percentage. I think he has a field day, Dan.
Continue.
I think this is an Indiana defense that's solid, but they've given up a lot of big plays on the ground and through the air. To me, that's a red flag. A red flag going against a team like Ohio State that just has so many playmakers on the offensive side. This is a good opportunity, not just for Fields, but for Master Teague, for Trey Sermon as well, to get theirs on the ground. I think it's something like 49-21. I really, truly like the Buckeyes here.
So you believe Indiana is worse than Rutgers, 49-27.
Indiana is not worse than Rutgers, but
okay.
I think I'm hearing. I think Ohio State wins this one going away.
Does it change your thinking at all that in retrospect, Ohio State only beat Penn State by 13?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't.
I don't think Ohio State defensively is, we're still talking about a team that lost two considerable coaches on, you know, a co-coordinator on offense and a defensive coordinator, and was able to just rush the QB with four guys last year because of Chase Young, had that experience, high level secondary. And it's a year where I think we are conflating 2019 with 2020. Ohio State's clearly the class of the Big Ten. Clearly, there's nobody significant in their way on their march to a potential playoff berth. But I still think they're more flawed. No J.K. Dobbins changing the calculus of every single defense Ohio State faces. And, you know, there's no gravitational running back, as promising as that backfield can be. Justin Fields, incredible. But what he had surrounding him on both sides of the ball last year, I think we might be overlooking collectively as a college football universe. And so I actually think Indiana is competent enough to cover this spread, to jump out, you know, 7-0, 10-3, and then lose comfortably. but I have it in like a 34-17 vicinity. I think Ohio State is simply great, not bulletproof this year. I think defensively, they're giving up too many big plays, and Indiana's done a pretty decent job of generating those plays. I know it was a down performance last week offensively against Michigan State, but I still think Indiana has enough gamers, and they lost this by, what, 40 last year with Peyton Ramsey at quarterback.
You got hammered, yeah.
I still think Indiana can play this Ohio State team, can keep enough in front of them on defense, even though they themselves have given up way too many big plays. We saw Michigan generating them last week. I still think Tom Allen is a smart enough defensive mind. The offense has been very good situationally, third downs, red zones. I believe that I think Indiana can stretch this out enough that they cover.
The other thing that I'll add here that I think it's, you know, maybe I'm kind of making up my own facts. I don't know, but I've pointed out the second order win stat that our friend Bill Connolly keeps track of. And
right. You can't help but mention that for Indiana football.
Well, right, because it does have the hallmark of a team that's punching a little bit above its weight class, that they've gotten to obviously a top 10 ranking. A lot of folks are talking about Indiana football. I feel great for Indiana football. Like I said, sure. I'm a fan of Indiana football, but I don't know if they are as good as that ranking. And I think this is the week that we find that out. So I'm going to stick to my guns. I saw it. It was the first thing that I reacted to. I'm going to say Ohio State, lock them up minus the points.
Wow. Okay. See, I'm looking at the in retrospect that Ohio State should have really blown Penn State out, given what we have now seen out of Penn State. I understand Penn State at home, big moment, but I don't know.
Let's stay in that noon block. Let's talk about the Sun Belt Fun Belt, Dan. App State on the road at Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina, last check was like a 5-6 point favorite here.
Mm-hmm.
They're 7-0. 7-0. It's sort of like an old school, new school setup here in the Sun Belt, because obviously Coastal Carolina has gotten a lot of play. They're what, in year four, the Shants are, of being at the FBS level. Clearly, this has been the most successful of all those campaigns led by Jamie Chadwell, their coach, perhaps candidate for that South Carolina job. He has gotten this team a little bit better each year on the job. And it does seem as if they found their freshman star quarterback, that is, Grayson McCall, your boy, Grayson McCall.
Oh, absolutely. So the Shants run a sort of pseudo option offense, a lot of different option looks, and it's not an amazing matchup given how good App State has been against the pass. I would have liked the Shants to be a little bit better on the ground, but it is still a difficult offense to defend. App State struggled last week. They needed to come back against, I think, was it Georgia State?
Was it a look ahead, though? Was it a look ahead spot?
It definitely could have been. It's not a long voyage from Boone to, I believe, was it Conway, South Carolina, where Coastal plays?
Conway, so just outside Myrtle Beach. I looked it up.
Yeah. Okay. I think Coastal's too solid in too many places. I know their defense is kind of average at best, especially against the run. I like Coastal here at home. I'm going to roll with the team. I'm going to roll with the quarterback. I know App State is Zach Thomas, and he's a nice quarterback as well. I'm going to roll with the momentum of Coastal, that the sort of funky offense. They've been hyper efficient all over the field. Yeah, I'm going with Grayson McCall here. Far be it for me to pick against the toughest internship in America, completing 70% of his passes and has only given up, I think he's thrown one pick all year long. So yeah, I like that kind of line going into a tough game.
Lock of the week.
I like App State a lot here, Dan.
Double barrel already? The first two games, two locks?
I might lock up every game this week.
Okay.
I did not realize how skewed Coastal's numbers were. This is really a team, as you said, that relies a lot on that passing attack. And that's great. That is great. It's been a great story, and it works really well against the Campbell Fighting Camels. It is not going to work as well against App State, who is legitimately very good as a pass defense. They're tough in the back seven. I think App State's going to have their number on defense. I think they're going to be able to run it on offense against Coastal as well. And I think genuinely they're the better team. And they're getting points. They're getting points.
What a weird world where you're super high on App State for once. Okay. I mean, Coastal did beat Raging Cajuns, right?
If you want to abandon your longtime lover, App State, be my guest. I am all in on App State here. I like them to win outright. I like them certainly plus the points. They're lock number two of this here week 12 for me.
And if and when Coastal Carolina wins, call me. Maybe.
That's not bad. Did you have that planned or did you just come up with it?
Nope. Yeah. Just in the moment.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Some other quick ones here that we do need to mention in this noon block. A bunch of them. I don't know if any of them grab your attention. I'll rifle through them, then just let me know your thoughts. LSU, a 1-point favorite. Wow. 1 point. This one grabs my attention. A 1-point favorite on the road against Arkansas. Can you imagine how folks would have laughed at us if we said 6 months ago, 3 months ago even, that LSU would only be a 1-point road favorite against Arkansas? I think Arkansas may have opened as the actual favorite in this game before it got bet in the direction of LSU.
I'm on, and this is not a sponsor or whatever, but I'm on Bovada, and the current line in this game is Arkansas -2.
Okay. All right. It's jumped around then. I've seen it all over the place, but regardless, the point stands that if you had thought about this 6 months ago in current context and said, wow, Arkansas is going to be the favorite or only a point off, that's just inconceivable.
Yeah. Unless you had already seen the story where Ed Orgeron said most of LSU has already had COVID. And you're like, wait, what? What's happening in Baton Rouge? It's a strange year. We've seen the depths of LSU. We don't know how low they currently are within those depths. They came up for air against South Carolina, but that's apparently a thing that people can do now. I like Arkansas here. It's very awkward once again to pick against a team because of not just how bad they've looked on the field, but because of how uncertain things have been off the field. And Arkansas is, strangely enough, the more stable, dependable program in this matchup. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Hogs here to win this game by a few.
I guess the question is, what are you betting on with LSU? They were kind of a mess to begin with. Now they've had all these COVID issues to deal with. They're on the road against a very capable and hungry Arkansas team that does have a good quarterback. So I think I'm with you. I think I go Arkansas as well. Okay. Elsewhere in college football here in that noon block, Florida -31.5 against Vandy. We've got Clemson -34 against Florida State. Wake Forest -6.5 against Duke. Maryland, a 5.5-point home favorite over Michigan State. Nebraska, about a 14 and a half point favorite over Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's it. Originally, there was a Charlotte Marshall game here, but that one's been called
right.
off.
Yeah, it's too bad. I actually was watching a bunch of Marshall game tape a couple days ago just because I wanted to see. Brendan Knox and Grant Wells, a really nice one, too, in that backfield. Must-win game for Maryland, and I think they will,
yeah.
just because it's a winnable opponent that they can build upon their year thus far, their impressive year. I don't like Nebraska as a double-digit favorite, no matter how bad their opponent is, just because this was, I mean, Illinois should have won this game last year, if I recall correctly. It was like a phantom pass interference at the end of a four-point Nebraska win. I don't know what Nebraska has done. I mean, I know why Illinois is worse, but I don't know what Nebraska has done to get that much better than they were last year. Wake Duke is not all that fun for me because of Duke. I like watching Wake, and it's a letdown spot potentially for Wake after that shootout loss. Clemson, Florida State doesn't do much for me, though I guess it's interesting to see what Florida State can or can't do at quarterback, but the return of Trevor Lawrence is certainly fun, and hope he has his physical faculties back after sitting out the extended time that he did after testing positive. Florida Vandy, I suppose it's interesting to see if Kyle Trask can stay on pace to at least tie Joe Burrow's 60 touchdown pass number from last year, because he's averaging like 4.8 touchdown passes a game, which, here's my take, that's good. That's a good pace to be on and good company to potentially be in. So, yeah, that's a window I'm not all that excited to watch. I'm excited to watch Indiana, Ohio State, and App State Coastal, but yeah, I'm going to toss back the rest here and hope Maryland wins and builds upon things.
I'm going to go Wake because outside of Duke's wins over Syracuse and Charlotte, they haven't been within 7 points of anybody this season. So Wake minus the points. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go Maryland minus the points because Michigan State's been putrid on offense and Maryland has been surprisingly capable this season. They got drilled in that opening game, but came back strong, beat Minnesota and Penn State, and it does seem like they've found their quarterback in Talia. So those are the two that jump out at me. I would probably be inclined to go Arkansas as well, as I said earlier, and
right.
Nebraska minus the points.
Do you actually like Nebraska? Like, do you actually feel like Nebraska has its act together now that they at least have started Luke McCaffrey once?
Not especially, but I really don't like Illinois. And I think that's the hang up for me.
They beat Rutgers.
They did.
And okay. Rutgers is only bad, not embarrassing right now.
In the afternoon block, the big game here is Wisconsin -7 on the road in your backyard. Are you going to this game? Are you taking the solid toddler to this game?
I don't know that fans are allowed in Ryan Field.
Will you be outside Ryan Field?
It's hard to get so close when there's so much pandemonium in the streets around this Northwestern squad this year. But we're always out and about on weekend mornings going to parks and such in the greater Evanston area. So maybe, yeah.
I was thinking a lot this week about a comment that you've been making, and
okay.
you've been doing this thing where you're talking about wins in a losing effort.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like Northwestern has three straight wins in losing efforts, because this is not a good Northwestern wow. offense. It isn't. And outside
Peyton
of that,
Ramsey's fine. He's accurate. He makes throws, but you're right. Continue.
He's fine, but the offense is not good. And outside of that resounding win over Maryland to open the season, it does feel like it's been a very underwhelming defense first effort the rest of the way. And especially in a game like this, I think I'm going to be of the mentality that two good defenses sort of cancel each other out. I like the Wisconsin offense better in a lower scoring game. Maybe something like 24-13. I don't know. Just like an ugly defensive game that further justifies my window of opportunity being in this block.
Isn't Northwestern your, like, is there a better example for you of your favorite, like, you know, not great, but 180 straight down the fairway every time?
Oh, I mean, they're playing 5-iron off the tee.
Right.
Pretty much exclusively. Yeah.
Northwestern, not explosive. Northwestern has not lost against the spread this year, correct?
Correct.
Vegas has not figured out Northwestern in a line to pick against Northwestern successfully. So they're 4-0 against the spread. Northwestern is arguably the best team in the nation at both bending and not breaking, great red zone defense, and making other teams bend and break. They score when they get into the red zone, when they get into inside their opponent's 40, they're putting up points. It's just sort of a given. So they're in a year where we are rewarding consistency, we're rewarding dependability. We fully know who Northwestern is, right?
I think we fully know that
they're good on third downs. Like, they just come through. They're there for you. They're going to help you move. They're going to take you to the airport. Might be weird.
Yeah.
But you will make your flight.
You will make your flight. They will drop you off at the correct terminal. I think what I know about Northwestern is that legitimately the front seven's good. Patty Fisher, very good. Like, we know what we're going to get from that side of the football from Northwestern. Mm-hmm. But to your point of Vegas not figuring them out, that kind of, you can play that both ways, right? And especially now, as they're clearly going up a much, much better opponent than anyone they've seen so far this season, like, there's a really good chance that this number is way off the mark and that Wisconsin wins by 2 touchdowns.
But now that we know more about Illinois and about Michigan, are you as impressed?
No.
By Wisconsin
no.
at the moment?
No, of course not. Of course not.
And I think the way you actually beat Northwestern, if I'm watching these games correctly and looking at the numbers correctly, is you got to run on them. Right? You got to push Northwestern around up front. And weirdly enough, this is not a Wisconsin team that is all that. You know, I like Nakia Watson. I like, you know, Garrett Groshek, whatever his status is, but this is not a flattening Wisconsin team in the way that we're used to.
Thus far. That's right. Yeah.
I don't see that high level talent like we're used to. And maybe that talent will emerge. Maybe it'll emerge this week. But I'm going with the good defense at home as the home dog of the week. And it's not the Yakko's home dog of the week, because there is a place I discovered outside of Ryan Field.
Not a sponsor.
Mustard's Last Stand.
Mustard's Last Stand, dog of the week. It doesn't ring quite like Yakko's, but
you can play the Yakko sound because it's their cousins. Yeah, absolutely.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
Mustard's Last Stand. That's very difficult to say quickly.
Yeah, but it's a pun, and that's what happens in the Midwest. A lot of punny restaurants.
We are disagreeing on a lot of games this evening. I like it.
I love it.
I like it. Okay.
Are you feeling that emotion? Carly Rae Jepsen.
3:30. I'm feeling emotion about this one.
Okay.
Iowa -2.5 on the road against Penn State. When I saw this line at the open, I think it was something like Penn State -2.5, which blew my mind. The last three meetings in this one have been one score games. Penn State's actually won something like the last 6. Iowa's a tough team to read, Dan. They really are. They lost to both Purdue and Northwestern to open the year. Then they had 2 dominant wins over Michigan State and Minnesota. The defensive numbers are skewed a bit because they haven't really played a good offense. But, you know, with Penn State on the schedule, why start now? I guess my only trepidation here is that I don't know what to expect from Penn State at quarterback. If it's Sean Clifford, Sean Clifford's been a mess. We saw Will the Thrill Levis come in last week against Nebraska, and he did provide a spark, but he's a runner. He's not a great thrower. His career completion percentage is something like 53.8%, I think I saw. So they'd be limited on that side of the ball, and the rushing attack for Penn State's really an open question, given you know, some of what we've seen happen so far in the early.
I have some answers.
Yeah, I think the answer here is Iowa. I really like Iowa here. We had some folks give us suggestions and options for the mail it in teams of the year. Mm-hmm. I present 2 to you. Here's 1.
Mail it in.
That's from Van Wilder, classic movie. Nice. We also have this one, which is much more of the standard play that got sent in. So whichever sound you like better doesn't matter to me. I think Penn State still falls in that category. I do think if they go to Levis, they get a little bit of a lift, but I'm just not confident taking them over anybody right now. So I'll go Iowa minus the number.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just hand the ball to a running back in the entire game, Tyler Goodson and Mekhi Sargent, if they're available? I assume they're available playing Penn State. They can run the ball well enough. They're not like home run threats, but if you pick up 6 yards at a time against Penn State, you're going to win that game 28-7, right?
Yeah, I think.
So I know it's been a one-score game all these years, and I still think it will be. I just think it'll be Penn State scoring once. So no. I'm going to go, yeah, Iowa by double digits.
We agree. Okay.
We agree.
Two other quick ones here, and then we'll rifle off a bunch of other matchups in that mid-afternoon block. K-State on the road at Iowa State. Last I saw it was Iowa State by about 11. Really like the Clones here, Dan. Off last week, getting ready for that final push in their schedule, starting this week with K-State, and they've got Texas and West Virginia. Meanwhile, K-State's lost two in a row. They muddied up that game 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma State. They did have a shot there, but now they're back on the road. I don't care for their quarterback situation. Wouldn't surprise me if they kept this one close because that seems to be their MO. But I really feel like Iowa State is a much, much better team in this spot. So I'm hesitant to go Clones, but I do like the matchup for them, and I'm going to lay the 11.
Yeah, I'm not sure what there is to like about Kansas State right now, just because I think they're going to exit the field quickly more often than not on offense. Between the guys that they've lost, you mentioned Will Howard, they're beat up on offense. I'm just out. I think they like they're. I have this stat. Their three and out percentage right now, 37% of their drives end in a three and out. That's 103rd nationally. In the wrong direction. Wow. And I just think they put their own defense. It's such a bad alley-oop. It's the alley-oop is ending up in the fourth row of their offense, just leaving their defense out to dry far too often. And it's actually an interesting defense, but they've rushed the passer relatively well. They've, I believe, forced turnovers pretty well. I you got to score points, and yeah. Kansas State isn't. And I don't think they can muck it up enough. So, yeah, I like Iowa State by a couple touchdowns here.
Two in a row that we agree on.
Indeed, it's a new world.
Let's go to 3:30 and talk about Cincinnati minus 4.5 on the road at UCF, Dan. Cincinnati's been killing teams. They have been killing teams, and this presents a much different matchup. I still think I go Bearcats here. I think they're good enough on defense to get a couple stops. They're good enough offensively to keep this one, you know, out of reach, I'd say, from UCF for a long enough period of time. I think it's lower scoring than we've seen as of late, really, from both these schools. But if you're giving me a chance to take Cincinnati for like more than 4.5, I feel like that's doable. Totally doable. Give me the Bearcats.
I still very much like UCF's offense, but even with the opt-outs on both sides of the ball, UCF, the Knights defense has been pretty pedestrian this year. No. They've given up far too much, whereas Cincinnati is actually finding its rhythm offensively, even though Desmond Ridder isn't necessarily a bomber. He's completing more passes. He's keeping the offense on track, and they run the ball well enough. I like Cincinnati here comfortably. I mean, if I'm looking at the Bearcats in the eye right now, I'm saying, I really, 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 really like you.
Yeah, yeah. CRJ Saturday. Jepson. There it is. Some other games quickly here in that 3:30, 4 o'clock, whatever slot. Is UCLA and Oregon playing in this spot?
Okay, so the latest I know about this kickoff time, very strange to say, Tuesday before a Saturday game that was actually going to be Friday night, it was moved to Saturday, is I saw a report from the Oregonian that perhaps the conference was waiting on cancellation or postponement blocks to open up to make a final decision. Which is where you want to be. We'll put it on our YouTube channel.
Sure. Like
if you can send us the RTMP We'll put it on our YouTube channel. We'll figure something
out. Little tech humor.
Tech humor, Ty. Tech humor. So the rumor I had heard was it's going to be in the 7 Eastern block, but that nothing is, as of the time of this recording, 5:08 Eastern time Tuesday, nothing is in stone yet publicly. So I'm going to roll with that timing for that game. I have the list here that you have put forth of the other games, and then we can talk UCLA Oregon after. Kentucky Bama. I actually like the points here.
30 points? Is that what
Kentucky does a really, really good job of limiting bigger plays on both sides of the ball. They limit on offense of them for themselves, and they limit other teams, of course, arguably Alabama's best explosive player, and it's really tough to say for sure, but Jalen Waddle, of course, out in this game. I think Kentucky keeps it close
enough.
I'll go points
yeah. there. Yeah.
I think they can lose this game by 24, right?
Sure.
34 to 10?
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, Pitt. I like Pitt here.
I don't like either of these teams. I'm abstaining from making a pick here because I have been...
You're opting out of mid-level ACC picking?
I'm opting out of both teams for the remainder of the year. I just have no feel for either.
I mean, they're certainly better with Kenny Pickett in there than Joey Yellen, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So that's helpful. They beat Florida State. It's what, Vinny Davis? It's double Davis, right? Double Davis backfield. AJ Davis, Vinny Davis for Pitt. Virginia Tech. Yeah. Nice step forward on defense last week, but they lose that game late. Perhaps a letdown spot, having Miami in its claws. Okay. I don't have any thoughts about Abilene Christian, Virginia. Oregon State, I'm going to take against Cal. Another road game on short rest for Cal, playing a Sunday morning game, now traveling to Corvallis. Texas minus anything against Kansas, because that's just how I roll with the Jayhawks. Raging Cajuns, big over Central Arkansas. BYU, big over North Alabama. And I think that is the rest of the afternoon window slate and all of my related thoughts.
Yeah, I'm in on the Texas minus anything against Kansas, and also Oregon State plus the points against Cal. It's just such a weird situation for Cal right now. They did not look good against UCLA, and it's obviously due in part to circumstances, but now to go on the road, Corvallis is always a weird place to play, and Oregon State is many things, but they are I think a well-coached team. So
yeah, I don't love Jebbia right now. I mean, I like Jamar Jefferson. I like the defense a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with the home team as a dog. Why not?
And finally, let's go to the nightcap here. Let's talk about Bedlam, Dan.
Okay.
What do we do? Just for the record here, it is a big rivalry. We do have a thing that we do in a big rivalry game.
You got to toss those records, Ty. Don't even keep them near you anywhere.
Throw those records out. Not even talking records here, Dan.
Okay. What are we talking?
We're talking a game in which Oklahoma is about a 7-point home favorite.
But they've lost twice.
Throw the records out. They're out the window. The records are out.
Gotta throw them out. Gotta throw them out.
The Sooners have won the last 5 matchups, Dan. Throw the records out. Just throw them out. Doesn't matter.
Throw them out. Yep.
This is a much different bedlam than we are accustomed to seeing.
That's also your father's bedlam.
Oklahoma is still very good, but they are very flawed. Very flawed. I'm glad you said probably, because I think that's how I feel about them as well. The offense has not been consistent enough so far this season to paper over some of the flaws that we've seen on defense. And I guess with that kind of in mind, you have to try and figure out where do you stand on this team, because the last 3 games have been dominating. Probably the best 3 games they've played all year, their last 3 wins. Not the toughest of competition, mind you.
Right.
But Oklahoma has seemingly improved. Seems like they've gotten better. So I've got that in mind. I've also got Oklahoma State in mind, because I think if you're the Pokes, you've got one of 2 templates that you can use if you want to try and win here. Either stifle Oklahoma with your defense, hold them to, like, I don't know, 28 points. Hope you can get
TCU
the 30.
TCU held them to what, 33?
Yeah. You take that approach, hold them to like 28, hope you can get the 30. or you try to go score for score and you beat him in a shootout. My issue is that the Pokes aren't built to win a shootout. That's not the kind of team that I'm seeing out there. So it falls entirely on the defense to contain Oklahoma, and that feels like a losing proposition to me. So I'm going Oklahoma minus the points.
I'm going to go State here. I'm going to take the defense. I'm going to bet against a team who has turned the ball over still in too many high leverage moments. If we think this is going to be relatively close, I don't see this as being a blowout. I know Oklahoma has improved on the ground. I think Spencer Rattler is still quite promising, big arm, but still a little bit too mistake prone, still a little bit too tentative at times in second halves. Yeah, they've put up points, but his numbers are far from gaudy, right? He hasn't been nearly as accurate as I would have hoped from him, given a redshirt year, given the system he has entered into. So, yeah, I like Oklahoma here, but I like them to just sort of come through at the end, not distance themselves from it'll be the best defense, right? Yeah. Oklahoma has faced... Yep. In terms of like interesting defenses, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas, and TCU-ish, and haven't performed, like they lose to Kansas State, I mean, make plays, but lose late. They lose to Iowa State, make plays, lose late. They beat TCU, but they don't pour on a ton of points. Texas was four overtimes to get to their point total. I think Oklahoma's good. I don't think they're amazing. So... I think 9 points feels like too much against a good defense. I'll take them like 35, 31.
What are you seeing it at? You said 9 points. I got it down here. I think I wrote 9 on our initial sheet. I'm seeing it down at 7 spots. So it's jumping around.
Yeah,
it's
okay, more than 7. Touchdown. Yeah, I'm seeing. Yeah, it says 7 here on Bovada. Yep.
It's a touchdown or more regardless. But I think the point still stands. It's a valid point. And the whole thing about Oklahoma being good but not great is just new. It's new given where we've been the last couple seasons, and that is, of course, our pet charity, the Cause for Pause.
Absolutely true.
The other game I want to talk in a little bit of detail about in the nightcap is at 10:30. It is USC favored by, what, 3 I'm seeing here? 3.
Okay.
On the road against Utah. How do we even score this one? Utah hasn't played yet.
No, they haven't. And I hope this game happens.
I hope it does too.
I'm taking Utah here because USC second straight week on the road feels like LRO moments needing to come through in the crazy way that they came through against ASU and now Arizona in consecutive weeks. And I'm not still all that high on either one of those teams. So... I'm going to take Utah altitude, second straight road game. Yeah, Utah's probably going to have a rough start to their season, but I don't know how much you need to be smooth to beat USC right now.
I am going USC. I am going USC. Under normal circumstances, I would 100% go Utah if they were getting 3 at home. But this whole thing about starting your season late because of COVID, odd circumstances against a team that's gotten a little bit of a running start, even if it hasn't been impressive.
Right.
I got to go Trojans. Got to go Trojans. Okay. It goes against every fiber of my being.
Yeah, have fun with that.
I'm not going to watch the game. 10:30? Are you kidding me? I'm not watching this. I'll watch this Sunday morning.
If only USC had recent history losing to a team at altitude in Utah early on in the season. Oh! Oh!
All right, Dan. All right. Have your fun. Do your worst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some other matchups here that we need to dissect. Let's talk about Michigan minus 8 against Rutgers. Let's talk about Tennessee, about a 10-point dog on the road at Auburn. Georgia, 24 points, a favorite at home against Mississippi State. Missouri minus 5 on the road against a interim Mike Bobo-led South Carolina squad. Any of those 4 games jump off the page for you?
I think Michigan can get a net crack game in against Rutgers. I think. we have seen that Michigan can perform against the very bottom of the conference, right? We saw them perform against Minnesota. So sure. There is track record for Michigan coming through. You got to score points against Auburn a little bit. And I don't know how Tennessee is fully doing that. So I like Auburn by a couple touchdowns there. There's nothing much to like about Mississippi State, though. Georgia's good. They're not invincible. But yeah, I still like Georgia there. Mizzou against the interim South Carolina feels fine to me. And I guess that rounds out that. Well, not fully that window. We have what? Liberty, NC State, Arizona, Washington, Wazoo, Stanford late. And yeah. UCLA, Oregon, somewhere around there. Maybe.
Somewhere on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't. Again, the offer stands. RTMP, hit us up, Pac-12.
I'm going to go Rutgers plus the points. I'm
okay,
intrigued.
You have to defend this. You have to defend this, though. You can't just go with the momentum of the universe.
Well, I can if I want to. It's my damn show. But valid point. Why is this line only 8?
Because Michigan's not that good at college football.
Only Rutgers 8 points worse. Against Rutgers. That doesn't strike you. That doesn't strike you as Vegas whispering into the world, take Rutgers. Take the Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, you think Bo Melton's going to light up the Michigan secondary? You big Noah Vedral fan?
I am all aboard Noah's Ark here, Dan. I am.
Okay.
I am on board with a Shiano Saturday.
Rutgers can run-ish pretty well.
Don't
They've
make me defend
They've hit some balls
this.
Downfield.
Don't make me defend this.
I'm giving you something. I'm trying here.
I'm going to go Rutgers plus the 8 at home. Let's make them home dog of the week. Why not?
Wow.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
I don't get the line. That's usually the cue to steer into it. I like Auburn as well. I think Tennessee is approaching mail-it-in status. I will go Georgia minus the number and Missouri minus the number as well. The other matchups that you mentioned here, I kind of like Liberty plus the points against NC State. Liberty's
yeah,
playing
so
well right now. They're playing well right
yeah.
now.
I don't like Malik Willis. I just also don't like belaboring talking Liberty football.
Arizona, I'll go Arizona plus points against Washington, and I'll go Washington State plus points against Stanford.
I like both of those picks. Washington State, extremely fun to watch. And, you know, the collection of people watching this game, what they're going to be called, Ty? Late at night, 11 p.m. Eastern, Owl City featuring Carly Rae Jepsen, because Washington State's offense, that run and shoot's always a good time.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, Washington quarterback Dylan Morris and that just the entire passing game for Washington, it might improve. It wasn't all that fun to watch last week, so I'm going to take Arizona in the points here. I think they can run on Washington a little, much like Oregon State did. I actually did go back and forth with UCLA Oregon, and I do that because the back half of Oregon's defense is, because of those opt-outs, right? They lose 3 of their 4 guys in the secondary. They lost, you know, Samson New, not playing this year. He was an inside linebacker who contributed a bunch. One of their prize inside linebackers is now out for the season. I saw a report on Twitter, Justin Flo, that 5-star, one of their 5-stars.
Yep. Yeah.
And their tackling has been pretty awful in that back end. There are definite guys to pick on. And Chip Kelly, if nothing else, is exceptional at finding dudes to pick on. And I don't love UCLA, but they've generated some big plays against not amazing competition. And Oregon should comfortably win this game. I'm more and more worried about the lack of dudes on Oregon's defense in that back 7, essentially, other than Diamador Lenore, who returned. So I actually had UCLA, but it's a short week on the road at Autzen. It's going to be cold. I'm going to go Oregon here to comfortably crockpot this game, because their wins this year, as comfortable as they've been, have been in spite of turning the ball over a bunch. And I think the randomness of turnovers is going to bounce Oregon's way this week. So I'm going to go with Oregon here, like 47-20.
I like Oregon as well. I like them big, although UCLA, I think, has been better in the early going than I expected. They've looked more capable.
Yeah, I mean, you take away those the crazy turnover short fields against Colorado, we're probably singing a different tune about UCLA at now 2-0 rather than that shootout loss to Colorado. But listen, win your clunkers, and UCLA most certainly did not.
Three other really quick ones. We generally talk about these towards the end of the show because we don't know when you're listening to the show.
Yeah.
There's a Thursday game where Tulsa's a 4.5-point home favorite over the Tulane Green Wave. And then there are two Friday games, Purdue on the road, minus 2.5, 3 points against Minnesota, and Louisville at home against the Syracuse Orange.
Yeah, if Tulane could throw the ball more impressively, I think I would like them against Tulsa, but it's a really nice matchup for Tulsa's defense, one of the absolute better defenses in the country. So I'm going to go with Tulsa to avoid the letdown spot after beating SMU. I like Purdue against Minnesota, even though the line seems a little bit weird considering the depths to which Minnesota has fallen. I'm still going to go with Purdue here. And Syracuse, interestingly enough, they've played one road game since mid-September. Just an anomaly, I suppose, of scheduling and COVID and everything like that. But yeah, that Clemson game that they actually made a little bit interesting around the halfway point was the one time they've played on the road since September 19th when they traveled to Pittsburgh. Georgia Tech, no game. Duke, Liberty, at Clemson. Wake Forest, Boston College, no game at Louisville. So
Louisville.
I guess I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. Javian Hawkins opted out of the season. So certainly Cardinals less explosive, but yeah, there. This is my Tracy Chapman matchup of the week. Just I need a reason beyond Syracuse's interesting enough defense that kept it close against Boston College. So I guess I go Louisville here. I kind of hate it. I didn't give you a lock, did I?
No.
Which game did we disagree on? That
we've disagreed
that we particularly
on.
What was especially spicy? Wisconsin Northwestern? I already took Northwestern as my mustard's last stand home dog of the week.
Well, I locked up both Ohio State over Indiana and App State over Coastal Carolina, and you disagreed on both of those. If you're really looking to go extra spicy with it, you could go a lock on one of those two.
You know what? Screw that. I am shouting out our old producer, Taylor. Maryland, lock of the week against Michigan State, because sometimes, there it is, yeah. Sometimes I see numbers that I can't shake, and I saw that Rocky Lombardi's QBR last week against Indiana was 0.3. And I don't think that defines who Rocky Lombardi is. Fully as a quarterback and fully as a human and fully as a college student. But here we are a few days later, and that number is still bouncing around my head. So give me Maryland with an improved offense as my lock of the week against Michigan State at noon in College Park. Hopefully they play this game after Maryland had issues last week that canceled the Ohio State matchup. So there's my lock of the week. How about that?
Well, I mean, there's always a chance that Peyton Thorne will come in, Dan, in relief of Rocky Lombardi.
That is true.
Talk about Rocky. Oh, my gosh. All right. Thank you so very much for downloading, for listening to the show. We would encourage you all to go on out to our website, solidverbal.com. That's where you can find all the links for how to subscribe, for how to sign up for our newsletter, for how to find us on social media. We've also got a big yellow banner at the top. That'll link you up to verballers.com, which is our Patreon account. We're really humming along on Patreon. We've got an active Discord server where folks are talking about the games as they're in progress. We pop in a bunch during the weekends, talk college football, sometimes literally talk college football in a voice channel.
Yeah,
so it's
a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to be had going out again to verballers.com. And if you are trying to take advantage of the window of opportunity, if you're out in the yard, you got stuff to do, pop on over to our friends with the College Football Blitz, Dan.
Oh, yeah. They've been lifesavers for me. Driving around? Yeah, absolutely.
Channel 84 on SiriusXM or going out to College Sports Now on TuneIn. It is essentially College Football Red Zone Network on the radio. 56 minutes of live play-by-play coverage per hour, and it's like 100 hours a day. They're just doing the whole thing throughout the course of College Football Saturday from start until finish. You will enjoy it. It's sort of the secret weapon for us as we try to carry on our normal lives and still do this podcast. So College Football Blitz, check them out. They do a great job from Learfield IMG College.
Are you now looking back, now that you have seen this entire preview episode and all of the emotion, involved in the show.
That was so bad. It was
so bad. Is it more of a Carly Rae, more of a CRJ Saturday, or more of a Sicilian Saturday? And also give me your thoughts about Sicilian pizza.
I love Sicilian pizza. Huge fan of Sicilian.
So it's not like a deep dish, but it's a thicker, square, rectangular cut.
I don't know if I could ever get her on the record to admit it, but I think it's Mama H's chosen pizza style.
Okay.
Yeah.
She makes it in a pan with edges and stuff, right?
You need to make it in a pan with edges. And she does make a Sicilian style pizza, but I'm just saying in general, if you're ordering pizza
that's her go-to.
From the timeless Mario's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Down the street in Northampton, Pennsylvania. Sicilian would sort of be the go-to.
You've long talked about how when you go to an Italian restaurant, you use, I think, penne alla vodka as like, this is, well, let's see what they can do, and you order penne vodka, right?
Yep.
So do you do that with pizza? Do you order like straight cheese to get a real fine concept of the abilities of the restaurant to master the basics?
I generally will just go straight. Yeah. We'll go straight.
Straight cheese.
We'll go pepperoni.
Not straight cheese.
We've talked. It just depends what mood I'm in. You know, we've talked about the value of peps as a measuring stick for pizza. Mm-hmm. I must say, I did try at a local establishment, a place that put vodka sauce on pizza. And that was just a bad experience. That my stomach did not respond well to that choice.
I think you just need to go somewhere that has good vodka pizza.
Well, that's possible. That is also possible.
What will you cover your pizza in Parmesan cheese, oregano, red pepper flakes? Do you do that?
As I've gotten older, I've gone a little bit more crushed red pepper.
A little spice to it. Okay.
Add a little bit of zazz. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should point out, CRJ has a single, It's Not Christmas Till Somebody Cries. Came out a couple weeks ago.
All right. Well, write in. Let us know. Is it CRJ? Is it Sicilian? So you can tweet us. You can fleet us, I guess. That's a thing now.
I did see that.
I just checked our Twitter. There's a million fleets out there.
Are there? People are already fleeting?
People are fleeting, yes.
Fleet. Okay. That's all I have. I don't know what I'm going to do for dinner. I will I'll figure it out. Because I have that dough baby fermenting. Yeah. All right. That's all I have, Ty. We should really let people go.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for playing along with us. We'll be back on Friday for another UFO show to get ready for the weekend. In the meantime, don't forget to give us a call, 408-VERBAL-1. That's 408-837-2251. That's the Reverb Line this weekend where you can call in Stream of Consciousness, Dan. Let us know what's on your mind as you're watching the games. We will catch you all soon. In the meantime, stay safe. And as always, stay solid.
Peace. Carly Rae.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.